Blog Talk Radio.
It's 9 o'clock again. This is Fernando and the Fernando Poniente Show. Man, my goodness. It's January 6th already, 2010. Woo! Woo! Everybody, this is so exciting. This is 2010s. What is your 2010s? What are you going to be doing? What are you guys going to be doing for 2010? Let me get some hand claps. There you go. There you go. There's going to be so much things about, so many things to talk about tonight. You know, we're going to try and squeeze that into in 60-minute segments. So, yeah, we're going to be hearing some, maybe some song. Maybe if you get lucky, I'll play some song. And if you are not doing anything, you know you want to. You want to get in here, you know, talk to Fernando. And if you want to participate, 347-884-8125. I'll be here till about 10 o'clock. Not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. We're going to have some massive, massive snowfalls. It's going to be pouring in tonight, actually. Yeah, that's what the you know, the weatherman is saying. Actually, that's what everyone's saying. You know, weather extreme. Actually, what is really going on? You know, I mean, where is the global warming? Oh my goodness, we could really use a global warming right now. I'll tell you that. It's too cold here in Chicagoland. Too cold. If you want to join in the chat room with me, go to blogtalkradio.com and click on the chat room. No, don't do that. Yeah, go to blogtalkradio.com/TheFernandoPoniente Show. You know, just like that. And just, you know, chat room is just right in there. You can chat with me. You can listen to it, whatever you want to do. We're going to be talking about some weird news on this day. It's going to be on the menu tonight, and also your calls. We're going to be doing some, you know, and also I want to talk about getting out of debt, stuff like how to manage money and stuff. I'm no guru, but I just got back from like one of the church meeting, and actually the pastor did a pretty good job on that, and teaching us how to get out of debt. You know, it's kind of giving us a sample. It's about throughout the month, so it's going to be like three or four more segments, I believe. So we're going to be covering some stuff in there, plus your calls, 347-884-8125, and some news, you know, cover some news here and there, you know, extreme weather. Actually, why has Mother Nature gone bonkers nowadays? That's what they're saying right now. You know, with all the records, I mean, snowfalls in China and freezing cold blanketing the U.S., wow, if I'm looking at the map right now, it's just like there's actually a wave of frigid air spilled down over Europe and Russia from the Arctic in mid-December. That was last month. And saying it's creating a deadly cold snap. What do you think? What's your thought on this? What's your thought on that? I want your thought on this one. It's global warming. Is this because of global warming? Doesn't make sense, doesn't it? You know, like, is it maybe a global warming issue? That should be a little, you know, warmer weather, but I don't know. What do you think the giant turkey thinks about this?
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
I thought so. Yeah, I agree with the giant turkey. Yeah. Without further ado, I'm going to go into the On This Day. Actually, you know, January 6, 2010. Woo, start a new decade, you know. But on this date, actually, on January 6th, the 26th president, you want to get your pen ready, of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, died in Oyster Bay, New York, at the age of 60. That was tragic for the Americans back then. Whew. On this day, 1412, according to traditions, Joan of Arc was born in Domremy, France. Joan of Arc. Google it if you don't know who she is. 15th, this is years, okay? The year of 1540, England's King Henry VIII married his fourth wife, Anne of Cleves. Don't worry. Don't care about that. 1759 on this date. George Washington and Martha Dandridge Custis were married in 1759. 1838, Samuel Morse first publicly demonstrated his telegraph in Morristown, New Jersey. That's what happens in 1838. 1912, New Mexico became the 47th state. New Mexico, you know, cleaner than the old one. That's only a joke, folks. I don't want any email. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. Let's see, the turkey says about that.
Gobble.
Yeah, I agree. Where was I? See, you interrupted me, dying turkey. 1945, George H.W. Bush married Barbara Pierce in Rye, New York. 1950, I'm going to go along here. Britain recognized the communist government of China. In 1982, on this date, truck driver William G. Bonin was convicted in Los Angeles of being the freeway killer who had murdered 14 young men and boys. That's 1982. Wow. 1993, ballet dancer Rudolf Nureyev died of age of 54. Who's that? I don't know who she is. Who he is. Ballet dancer Rudolf. I don't know. 1993, on this day, jazz trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie died at age of 75. I know who he is. That dude that plays the jazz. All right. 1994, you all remember this. On this day, actually, figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed on the night. Not on the night. I need glasses here. On the right leg, but I sell it. In Detroit, four men, including the ex-husband of Kerrigan's rival, Tonya Harding, was actually later sentenced to prison. That was 1994. Yeah. 2001, with the vanquished Vice President Al Gore presiding, Congress certified Republican George W. Bush, the winner of the close and bitterly contested 2000 presidential election. 2004, on this date, Mijailo Mijailovic, if I'm saying that right, confessed to the fatal stabbing of Swedish Foreign Minister Anna Lindh in September 2003. I don't care about that one. 2005, former Ku Klux Klan KKK leader Edgar Ray Killen was arrested 41 years after three civil rights workers were slain in Mississippi. Killen was later convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 60 years in prison. That's a very long time. Birthdays! Here we go for all the birthdays out there. You know, having a birthday, all my friends and all my Facebook and MySpace friends. You all my friends. Happy birthday, and also non-Facebook, non-MySpace friends, my real friends who's having a birthday today that I know about, call me and tell me that, hey, I'm having a birthday. And, you know, something like that. But anyway, all the birthdays out there. And memorable birthdays right now is actually Asante Samuel turns 29 years old today. If you don't know who he is a Philadelphia Eagles cornerback. He's 29 years old today, having a birthday. All right, and also, who else? Kim Wilson. Rock musician, a fabulous Thunderbirds. Rowan Atkinson, or we all know as Mr. Bean. But by the way, the Kim Wilson turns 59. Mr. Bean actually turns 55, the one and only Rowan Atkinson. Nancy Lopez, the golfer. You all know her. If you're a golf player, you probably know who Nancy Lopez is. Turns 53 today. Nagila Lawson, you know, the TV, the chef, turns 50. Howie Long, you know, with the cop hair guy thing on the NFL Football Hall of Famer sports canter caster dude, John Singleton, he turns 50, and John Singleton turns 42, and also Julie Chen, which is a TV host of the you know Big Brother, turns 40. Oh my goodness, it was painful. That was my friend. Is the whatever you want to call that on this day. Let's go to the phone real quick. I have 224. I think this is Dawn, my co-host on the other end. Welcome, welcome. How you doing? Are you there, Dawn? Huh? Can you hear me? All right. 224-440-9830. You're on air. Are you there? That's also not talking to anyone. 9830, are you there? Huh? You want to talk or not? All right, cool. You don't want to talk. Be
can
that
you hear
way.
Me now?
Be that way. Yes, I
can
hear you
me?
Now. Yeah, who's this?
This is Don, your co-host.
Oh, like I said, yeah, this is, why is it, what is that, 440-9830?
Four.
Is that your phone number? That's your phone number?
It is. I was kind of like in the room with the kids, so I had it on mute, and I couldn't figure out how to get the phone off the mute. So, I'm like, maybe I didn't have it on mute, I don't know.
Okay, so, yeah, about that. All right, so, yeah, how are you doing today? Welcome to the show. Welcome back. It's a new year, you know. What's new? Give me a little bit of what's new for today, and we'll move on.
I'm looking forward to getting out of debt.
Oh, great.
Really, really looking forward to that.
You and probably millions and millions of Americans, yeah. And not just Americans, but people... All over the world, I want to get out of debt.
Yeah, I think that, well, I want to go back to living a lifestyle kind of like, I don't know, because sometimes you can't count on a job, you know, like I have a home-based
mm-hmm.
business, which helps me be able to stay home with the kids, because we have like five kids, but
mm-hmm.
my husband still has to work a job, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're making really good money and then you're, like, go from the job and you can't find a good paying job like you had before, it's kind of makes it hard, you know, so I think that it's
right.
just better to live at, a simple lifestyle, you know,
right.
and so that's kind of what I want to go back to, so that way there, you know, if that ever happens again, that he's, like, go from a good paying job, that we're still able to make it financially.
Ah.
So...
Sounds
but
good.
Like,
yeah,
that's
I'm
really excited about getting out
of debt. I just came back from a little meeting from church, actually, that talked about getting out of debt and all that. I think I want to go through with this with you real quick. You know what? I'll probably do that in a little bit. You know, I want to go through these some of the news that I want to cover, and then we'll go there.
Okay.
How about that? That's
sounds
cool.
Good.
Cool
I'm
you?
Looking
That's
forward
cool.
to it.
All right.
I'm so excited. I am so excited.
You're excited, huh?
I'm excited to get out of debt. I'm excited for all the information, how to get out of debt, you know, and I'm just like waiting for, you know, to get
yeah,
out of debt.
Yeah, you can always. Well, you know, I mean, there's so many ways to get out of debt, but. You know, I think the best way is to, like, in the Bible, you know, what it teaches in the Bible. And we'll cover that. And, you know, some of those sometimes misunderstood by people, you know.
Yes.
And we'll go there later on after the news, actually.
Okay.
How about this weather, man? You know, we're getting so extreme weather right now. I think we're going to get, like, maybe a couple of inches, or, I mean, over a foot of snow, I think, within a couple for a couple of days right now, China, Europe,
snow.
And China, and all that from actually
really?
getting what they call a cold snap. There's right in the Arctic. There's like as low as like negative 20 below.
Wow, amazing.
And the people asking what happened to global warming, and the people still,
right?
A lot of people, you know, some skeptics in the global warmer, movement, and actually saying that just because it's cold today doesn't mean it's not going to get warmer like 20 years later, you know what I mean? That's true. That may be true. That may be true, but again, the fluctuation of the weather, you know, with the climate, it doesn't really tell you if it's going to get warmer, you know, 20 years from now.
Only Lord knows.
And you know, United Nations and all the weather agencies and all that mumbo jumbo, the World Meteorological Organization, or what you call WO. Actually, they reported on the second day of last month on the Copenhagen Climate Conference. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. That the last decade was on track to become the warmest since records began in 1850. So they said they reported that's going to be actually on track to become the warmest weather climate since 1850. Now they get proven wrong again because of it's cold.
Right,
2009
right.
could rank. It actually 2009 actually ranked among the top. They said the 2009 ranked among the top five warmest years, and that's what the weather agency said. But again, you know, I'm gonna give you some thoughts. And what do you think about the global warming? What do you think? You know, what's going on with the crazy snowstorm?
Well, I think that God is just saying to those global warming people, it's not your timing. It's not anything you can control, the global warming. And the global warming is not a flood. It's actually going to be like with fire. So God's promised that he'll never flood the whole world again, like to destroy all living things, like he did with Noah's Ark, where he only saved eight only wanted to be saved. So I think that it's just like God's way of saying, hey, you know, it's not in your hands. You can't do anything to stop global warming. And that their thoughts of global warming are not God's thoughts of global warming, you know what I mean? And then, so that's my thought. I mean, like, I guess maybe it's warmer nowadays. I don't know. I really don't pay attention, but all I know is that it gets cold. It still gets cold, you know? I don't know what's up with the weather, because, like, well, I know God knows what's up with the weather. But, like, the other day, it was, like, below zero or something, and now it's, like, 17 or 18. So I'm thankful, though, that it's, like, 17 or 18 degrees, because, you know, then you have less risk of, you know, gas lines freezing and whatever, you know what I mean? So, especially if you live in cold climate. So, yeah. Obviously, if it's 18 degrees, but that's the crazy thing about China. I didn't know, thought about China getting, like, snow. I mean, obviously in the mountains, but,
up in a northern, like, near the Arctic and all that. We kind of beat that thing. So, yeah, thanks for putting your input on that. I like that. You deserve it.
It'd be really salty.
What do you think the giant turkey would say about that?
Gobble.
You know what I think would be interesting is if it started snowing in Manila, Philippines. That would be amazing. I think that would be amazing.
That would be scary. Cause it probably,
do you think that would be amazing?
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
It's never snowed there, has it?
Right, yeah. All right, let's move on, shall we, from the snow to the dryer, actually. Some more. Apparently there's a dad from Ohio, actually allegedly put his daughter in the dryer and turned it on. That's a cop. Maybe he's trying to dry her up, huh? An Ohio father is facing a laundry list of charges. get it? Laundry list of charges.
Yeah.
Allegedly putting his actually 7 years old daughter, oh my goodness, in a dryer, closing the door and turning it on. Prosecutors actually saying that after the girl told her school teacher her dad put her in the dryer, the school contacted Children's Aid or Services and charges were filed. There's no explaining this type of activity, they said. Why any individual would place any human being of animal or anything in a dryer and unexplainable. And to a normal thinking person, there is no explanation, and obviously this man has issues. I mean, this, with that, I don't know. I mean, they say that there were charges were filed, but I don't think it's. I don't know if it's true or not. You know what do you think? What's your thought on this one?
Yep. I think that okay, like kids want to experiment and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
About they're like, oh, I wonder what it's like in the dryer. But the parent has to know to say no to their kids. I mean, kids want limits even if they want to explore. You know what I mean? They're looking for those limits. You should know that it's bad to put a kid in the dryer. That's very, very dangerous. So even if your kid, you want to, like, show your kid love, quote, unquote, like, you still shouldn't put them in a dryer or turn it on. You know what I mean? Because, like mm-hmm. I said, kids like to explore.
I'm trying to
but
figure out.
That doesn't mean that you
mm-hmm.
shouldn't go ahead and say, okay, let's have you figure it out.
No, yeah, yeah.
No,
I'm also trying
like,
to.
No,
I'm also
it's
trying
dangerous.
To. Right, I'm also trying to figure out how they're going to prove it. You know, if the girl, you know, if the 7-year-old's like claiming that, you know, does she have bruises? Is it broken bones? You know, does she have like static cling? Just kidding. Prosecutor says it wasn't the first time the girl actually has a condition that stunts her growth. Was put in a dryer. That's what trying to say. It wasn't the first time. So maybe it's an ongoing thing for, you know, the dad and the girl, the little girl, saying, you know, hey, it's 3:00. It's dryer time, you know.
Yeah,
that feels sorry for that little girl.
Yeah.
You may imagine being in a dryer, hot, muggy, you know, can't do anything. The dude actually faces 2 counts of endangering children.
Yes.
And also an assault and kidnapping and domestic violence. So actually faces up to 33 years behind bars. And my goodness, if he's like convicted, you know, if this girl, you know, turned out to be telling the truth, I mean, he should be, you know, behind bars for that, or seek medical, you
yeah.
know, whatever, go to asylum or something and get some help. Get some help, you know what I mean? What do you think? 33 years? Do you think that's enough?
Maybe she'd be growing up by then, but I don't know. It's dangerous, you know? Dangerous.
Right. Exactamento. All right, from the dryer into something, I don't know. All right, there's actually a man with horns actually charged with sexual misconduct. Oh, a guy with the horn. I don't even want to read that. I don't know. What do you want to talk about tonight?
Getting out of debt.
Oh, yeah, that, too. Well, we're going to talk about that later, huh? But what else you... yeah, what
did
else
do
you
in
want...
On your, did I get to call in on your first show of the new year? Did I call in? I don't remember calling in.
I think you did. I think you did. I remember. I think you did, yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
So what's your New Year's resolution? What do you want to do this year?
Probably same thing as you want to do this year, get out of debt.
Okay.
Some, you know.
Good.
Focus more on the business and eat healthy, exercise more, and trying to conquer the world. I guess. anyway, expert health experts saying that Mona Lisa may actually have suffered from high cholesterol because, you know, that famous portrait of hers. Remember that thing in the Mona Lisa face?
Yeah.
That's that smile and all that. And they can tell by just looking at her. It's kind of, you know, it's stupid. I don't know how they're going to be able to tell on that. It's saying that the medical expert in Italiano saying that Leonardo da Vinci's 16th century old painting had a, they called a zetalesma, a cholesterol deposit in the hollow of her left eye. Where is that? I'm trying to look at it. So where's, yeah, it kind of a little bulgy there, but, you know.
This dude
actually, his name is Vito Franco. Maybe it's Vittoriano. I don't know. Vito Franco is actually a professor of pathological anatomy, University of Palermo, or something like, said that he found evidence of a range of afflictions in some of the world's greatest works of art. And he's claiming that there are clear signs of diseases from bone malformations to kidney stones that cast certain icons on perfection in virtually different. I don't know what they're talking about here, but anyway, they were looking at the pictures of Mona Lisa. Actually, is saying that there's like cholesterol deposit in the hollow of her left eye. You know, it's like hollow left eye. Yeah, that's because it's a little dark on the left, a little bit. Left eye there. He's saying that he began studying a masterpieces for evidence of disease and illness just 2 years ago. So this dude is just studying illnesses or diseases by just looking at the pictures, or, you know, like this 16th century oil paintings. And he said, I looked at art with a different eye from an art expert, much as mathematicians. And actually, in a way, the way he looks at it and how he painted it, you know, because he paid attention to details. That's what he's trying to say. He said analyzed about 100 artworks, and, you know, from Egyptian sculpture to, like, you know, whatever, to Leonardo da Vinci's oil painting. But I don't know, the way I'm looking at it right now, I don't see anything wrong with it. What do you think of this? Do you think this is just one of those hoo-ha-ha, trying to claim that he knows?
Well, I mean, like, I know...
That's not new, though. That's nothing new. I mean, what I'm going to get into this is, of course there's, like, there's diseases and illnesses back then in the 16th century. You know what I mean? It's...
Yep, exactly. Like,
you
know
what
I mean? Like, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, there was cholesterol problems, like, in the Bible times. You know, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, there was like issues going on with the stomach. You know, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. So
nothing new under
the
sun. That's what it's saying there. Yeah, you're right.
What's the point of worrying about it? You know,
I'm just looking at the pictures. I guess, but you're looking at, like, you know, if I look at these pictures, I'm gonna, you know, if let's say I don't know this picture, and I have no idea who she is, and I looked at a picture, I want to say, okay, and if someone tells me and goes, hey, you know, I want you to write some of those 10 things, what do you see, you know, something wrong with this picture, you know what I mean? I would say, hey, she has like an old, kind of oval-shaped head, you know, and she's depressed, you know, she's probably just woke up. Or, you know, she was forced to do this, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
You know.
Did you know the old... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Are you looking at the picture right now?
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, like, I heard that in the old days, in the 1450 to the 1650s, during the European Renaissance, that it was considered beauty for the women to shave off their eyebrows, and that Mona Lisa didn't have eyebrows. I was just wondering if you're looking at the picture, if that's true, if she has eyebrows or not. And that she was also like the wife of a nobleman.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that. From the painting to... Actually, just when I go from painting to cars, actually, there's this things. A lot of cars coming out in 2010. 2010 is more, it's especially in the auto industry, actually. There's a lot of smart cars coming out. Actually, Chevy's coming out with a new one called Chevy Volt. It's a plug-in hybrid to, they came out with, I just read about it, about remote control. Yeah,
wow.
you can control it. It's crazy. It's crazy. And it says the Volt is And I'm going to read it over here. It says, Chevrolet doesn't want owners of its upcoming Volt plug-in hybrid to just have a car to get them from A to B. And for Chevrolet, owning a Volt is all about the experience of having one of the most advanced cars on the road, a feeling that automaker wants actually owners to be able to take away with them once the driver is over, once the drive's over. Actually, yeah. So they go on using smartphones like Apple and iPhone or BlackBerry Storm. Owners will be able to perform tasks from setting the charge, time to unlocking the doors. Other features will include displaying the charge status of the batteries on the remaining driver. This is pretty cool. The electric and total remotely starting the vehicle and displaying mileage and odometer's reading. I thought I was going to be be able to remotely. Well, yeah, kind of remotely. You can do it remotely. I thought you're going to be able to drive it remotely. Anyway,
yeah.
Chevy Volt's coming out 2000. Actually, late 2010. GM has actually propagated this. Coming out with a lot of new ideas, but when it comes to smart cars, so. That is pretty cool. What do you think about that? I mean, it's just, this isn't just a first step to smart cars. I know that's just, it's not pretty soon we're going to be able to fly. Wow, someone's getting. Anyway, what do you think about that? What do you think about the Chevy Volt? Pretty cool, huh?
Well, yeah, you said remote. I was like, wow, so that means you don't have to go out to start it in the morning and you can just pull it up to your front door.
You can do that. There's a remotely. You can start it, but you can't drive it without. You have to be in the one behind. You have to be behind the wheel to do that.
Oh, okay. I don't know if it doesn't fit like
maybe I'm misreading
it. If it doesn't fit like 8 people, I probably wouldn't get it. Because I'm looking for a vehicle that fits 8 people or more. So if I can get a hybrid, I think a Chevy Tahoe has that or something like that. I don't know, what is that? It's not exactly hybrid, but it uses gas and electric. And it's it fits 9 people, I think.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right, yeah. That's a lot of suburban Traverse LTs. I believe that's a lot of cars out there that, or SUV, that will actually accommodate up to 8 passengers. But preferably, Suburban or Traverse actually coming out there. All right, we're going for the cars to the phone. Google actually just launched, they called Next One. Today's January 6, 2010. Let it be the Fernando Poniente show to be mentioned this on here in Blog Talk Radio. I don't think I'll be the first one, but Google actually launched what they called Nexus One. It's like Lexus with the N. One of the smartphones, actually, for months. Actually, they've been waiting for this, and I don't know what's so cool about that. I think it's run by Google Droid and everything like that smartphone. And reports suggest that Nexus One will be sold online around $500. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Anyway, do you own a phone right now? Do you own a phone right now? What do you think about this Nexus One?
How much did you say it is?
Around $500.
Wow.
Yeah,
I
a lot of money.
If you have a lot of money to spare, because a lot of people that have a lot of money, they like to change phones every year. I mean, I think I've had 3 phones this year.
I wonder what the giant turkey say about that. Gobble. Yeah, double. All right, we're going to take a break here in a little bit, and when we come back, we are going to talk about some of this. Give me some of the hints on how to get out of debt, and we'll come back. Maybe we'll play some music or something like that. I don't know. Maybe not. Or maybe. I'll be right back. This is Fernando. We'll be back here on blogtalkradio.com.
Ken Pettigrew, host of The Ken Pettigrew Show. You want to know what pisses me off? Too much government, too much taxes, and not enough rights. come check out my show, The Ken Pettigrew Show, at blogtalkradio.com/Ken-Pettigrew. Live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Your voice is a weapon. Come pull the trigger with Ken Pettigrew at blogtalkradio.com, where your voice is a weapon.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring him out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veterans.
They are Forgotten Heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
Hey, y'all, this is Rob. You're listening to my boy Fernando's show. Hell of a show. Y'all should be paying attention. Peace out.
Hi, this is Kim from ChickDad.com, and you're listening to the Fernando Poniatti Show.
Talk Time Radio with Winston Pitts, Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Call in live at 347-826-9009. The young conservative of Blog Talk Radio. Make your voice heard.
My daddy said, ain't no single mother or two safe in the world these days. And you need to be prepared just in case somebody else tries to come and break in your place. Take this little briefcase. But I declined, 'cause the man who broke in my house, he just stole my wine. And I was so afraid for my baby.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen. This is Fernando on the Fernando Poniente. Welcome back. We have, what is this? Well, 40 minutes into the hour, and we're going to get to the topic here. We're going to be talking about some of the things that, you know, if we want to get out of debt. Things I learned today, actually, it's right here, right in front of me now. And with that, with my help on the other side, would be Dawn on the other side. Hey, Dawn, are you ready for this or what? Huh?
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, ready. This is, we're going to be on week one. We're going to be talking about financial principles right now, you know, if you want to get out of debt. This is just a little taste of it, and maybe next week, you know, next Wednesday, we'll talk about this more. But we're going to go, we're going to breeze right through here, and, you know, basically, it's, you know, get your Bible, maybe, huh? We'll start, shall we? Yep, number, first thing you're going to do is learn, you know, the ownership of it. I mean, you have to acknowledge that God owns everything, right?
Yes.
God owns
yep.
what? Pretty much everything.
Everything.
Including your house, your, you know, your car, your, you know, pretty much everything. You look around it, you know, and he owns it. You know what I mean?
That's
so
right.
Acknowledge that, and you'll be on your first step on the way there. First, get that thing for us, okay? And, stewardship. You have to have a stewardship mindset or mindset of a steward. So what is it? How do you define a steward? A stewardship, Don. What is a steward? Is there
somebody that takes care of something.
Right. Take care of what? Properties, money, you know, all that stuff. What I'm trying
people.
To get at. People, yeah, stuff like that. What I'm trying to get at is actually we're here. God's owns, you know, everything, so you're just a steward, right? You're a stewardship. So you have to have
yep,
a steward
right.
mindset. Right, because if you look at the, if you look at the 1 Corinthians 7:31, you know, read that, and she'll be able to tell you some of that. We're going to breeze through here. We're running out of time. So some basic principles, actually, this is what they talk about here. I want to comment on this one, because when I was there earlier, I know I really didn't get to I should have, like, you know, raised my hand or anything like that. But anyway, basic principle is actually, it says, avoid get-rich-quick scheme. You know, one of the participants then actually raised her hands and saying, yeah, great. What is, when the pastor asked, like, what is a great get-rich-quick scheme? And she said that, hey, a pyramid scheme, you know. And some of them say, explain what a pyramid scheme is. And she actually, you know, explain that a pyramid scheme is, you know, someone that this is, she said that you buy into something and, you know, you recruit people and you have them work under you and you benefit from them, and that's a pyramid scheme. You know what I mean? It doesn't, you know, that's not, it's just like a job to me, you know what I mean? But, I think Dawn has, you have a better explanation for that. What is a pyramid scheme?
Actually, a pyramid scheme is not that definition, actually, because if you think about the government, if you have a job, everything is in the shape of a pyramid, just about, you know, you have people under you, your boss gets paid for based off your performance and things like that. That's where they get bonuses from, you know, if you're over budget and things like that. However, pyramid scheme is when you don't have any products involved. You're just paid for recruiting people, saying, hey, recruit like 10 people and you'll make this much money. Kind of like one of the companies I'm thinking of in particular is, I don't know if they're the same way now, but they were, it was called Referralware. You just refer people to the company and you get paid for it. There's no product involved. However, if you have a business like what we have, we do get paid for sponsoring people, but it's different because if we don't help our team, we don't get paid. Whereas a pyramid scheme, and we also have product involved, so it is a legit business. They have requirements and things
the government would shut you down if you're illegal. I mean, if you have a team, right? I mean, that's a company like that's
and
been in mark, you know, been around for many years. All right, quick, go ahead. Quick notes.
Also, like, a pyramid scheme, you know, like I said, there's no product involved. You just get paid for recruiting people for nothing, pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they usually, like, are get-rich-quick schemes because a lot of people, well, I don't know how many people, but people claim to make money, you know,
mm-hmm.
with that. But the company's only really around maybe 3 or 4 years at the most. Sometimes they're only around a year or two.
Right,
you know, where
they just disappear. So the main thing is, you know, there's actually different type of a pyramid schemes.
Oh,
right. Go ahead.
A pyramid scheme is actually illegal. Like, so you were saying that they would shut you down, the government. So, like, a
the FTC, you know, the FTC, the Base Bureau and all that, okay.
A home-based business isn't necessarily a pyramid scheme unless it doesn't have product involved. Because, yes, a pyramid scheme, like, where you get recruited, you recruit people and you get paid just for recruiting people and there's no product whatsoever involved,
mm-hmm.
that is
mm-hmm.
illegal. You can go to jail for that.
Right. So, back to that. They're trying to avoid a get-rich-quick scheme. It's, you know, I mean, be a detective. Do your research, you know, when it comes to things like that. Actually, you want to avoid, like, you know, a loss, you know, when it comes to a get-rich-quick scheme, it's, you know, lawsuits, gambles, Nigerian scams and all that. It goes along
right.
with it on the list. So avoid that, and also avoid all what they call ill-gotten gain, which is, getting paid cash. That's what they talked about, that because, you know, getting paid under the table you're not, you know, you're not paying taxes. You know, that's the ill-gotten gain. It basically just, you know, you're trying to gain something from other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Drugs, prostitution, piracy, you know, and then list goes on. And also that there's a Bible quote here from Proverbs 28:16. It's saying that a tyrannical ruler lacks judgment, but he who hates ill-gotten gain will enjoy a long life. That's an NIV if you guys want to look that up. Write it down. Also, avoid debt. That's what they have here. And, of course, we all know that debt is bad. it says, give everyone, this is a quote from Romans 13:7-8, an NIV version of that. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves
mm-hmm.
his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Agree? Agree on that one? All
right.
Number D is do not co-sign for loans. This is just
right.
referring to, let's say, if you don't, you know, Pastor made it clear, this thing, let's say, you know, if, you know, let's say if you have a daughter, a kid, a brother, you know, that you know that if your brother or your kids, you know, backed out and they can't afford to pay, that you're going to be able to sustain that, you know. But do
right.
not co-sign if you don't know, let's say you just met this friend and you know this friend for 2 years and you think they owe you all good buddies and says, hey, you know, co-sign for me, you know, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, your brother, you know, and your friend disappear in the face of the earth and you're stuck with that payment.
Right.
Again, you know, if you want to co-sign, you got to have the knowledge of saying that, knowing that you're going to pay for that if this person backs
right.
out of that for that loan. There's a what do you call that? A Bible verse for that in Proverbs 11:15, and it says, "He who puts up security for another will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to strike hands in pledge is safe." So, I mean. And also, the next one is be generous. And actually, there's a few. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's in Luke 6:38. Be generous of what? Actually, you know, if there's three things over here. You know, you can fill that in. Actually, number one, what is, Dawn, if you want to fill that in, be generous towards the
Lord.
The Lord,
giving,
okay.
Like tithe offering.
Right. Be generous towards the also the poor, you know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah.
You know,
and
be generous in another thing. Be faithful with what you have, even if it is small. That's what is that's the next one right there. All right? And advantages of the following principles. Advantages of following God's principle. I'm losing my notes here because I'm trying to squeeze that in as much as possible so we can move on here. What is the advantages of following God's principles when it comes to, like, you know, for this financial principles and all that? It actually reduces stress. And if you merit, it reduces marital stress. And one of the chief causes of stress within marriage is what? There's only two things, but this one is money,
finances.
Right?
Finances.
Yep. Yeah, money. And what is the second thing?
Marital infidelity.
Yeah, or sex. Sex. Actually, sex is the two things that causes stress within marriage is sex and money. So, yeah. Anyway, suggestions for those descendants who are married actually learn to respect each other and discuss before making, you know, purchase or expenditures and all that. Work out common goals, and pray about major purchases if you want to buy a house, a car, or anything like that, and ask God for guidance. Next one is pray about the Lord. You know, pray what the Lord would have you do to the work of His kingdom, you know. And, actually just basically know where your money's going, you know, as far as, like, budgeting and keep track of where your money's going. And actually, you know, we all know how to do that and everything like that. It's just kind of a, you know, a fresh reminder to you guys. And actually, and also, you know, let's just bring out the biblical perspective on this
thing,
you know. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a chance to comment on that. Go ahead. What's your comments on that?
Okay.
That's over. It's over.
You know, like make a budget and
mm-hmm.
be honest about the budget. I said budget. Budget. You know, I used to make a budget and I'm trying to start being honest about the budget, you know, like where include everything like gas money, you know, tithe offering, things like that. Include
mm-hmm.
all that in your budget so that you know and automatically like figure out how much your tax is. You know, when out of your paycheck or whatever, if your money and then your tithe offering before taxes and be like automatically that you don't have that money. You know what I mean? So you budget,
mm-hmm.
like say you have $340, $70 is like, you know, taxes and tithe offering. You just have $270 to spend, you know, a week or
mm-hmm.
however often. And be honest about that. And like also keep a log, you know, if you have a checking account or somehow keep a log about where for a month where you spend your money, because sometimes you might go out to eat or you might spend dollar here, dollar there, and it all adds up, you know. So those are just some tips to just, like, keep a budget and stick to it. And also, like, if you have, like, extra money, be prepared when you go to the store with a budget, because if you don't, you might be surprised. You might be like, oh, I have extra money, this and that. I'll have plenty of money to pay my bills. Let me go shopping. Oh, I just need this. It's a dollar. That's a dollar. And then pretty soon, you're like, you spent $200, and now you're $50 short of paying your rent or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you stick to the budget and make sure you know what you have before you go shopping. That's my comment.
That makes sense, yeah. What else you want to comment on that? I mean, it's comments on the basic principle right away. This is, you know, they want for introductions, you know, ownership, you know, not acknowledging that God's own everything. Stewardship, have a mindset of steward. You know, a steward is someone to take care of property, assets, money, et cetera. And also some basic principle, that basic principle, principles here that's listed as avoid get rich quick scheme. You know, a lot of people have caught up to that, and you know, that's unfortunately there's a crooked, you know, companies out there that messing up, you know, kind of diluting the good company, you know what I mean, that is out there. So when you're trying to when they're trying to look for something, they can't really focus on that. They will have this negative effect on them. Main thing is pray about it. Pray diligently. Pray that that God will show you the way, or God will open your eyes and stuff like that. The bottom line is actually, if you don't try anything, you're never gonna find out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of successful people out there that's tried out everything on some, on inventors. Successful inventors. I mean, how many times they failed. The thing
is,
be wise about it. Be wise about it. Don't, put your, don't put your house into that something you're gonna invest on something that that you don't know where it's going, or that you're going to succeed. I mean, that's just wrong. That's just but do your own research, and be wear a cop hat. I don't know if you want to do that, but. The cop hat. The cop. I'm talking about be a detective. Anyway, I went on to the list of that, and avoid ill-gotten gain. Gambling, racketeering. Getting paid cash. A lot of people out there are like, I'm getting paid cash under the table, no taxes, but that's actually an ill-gotten gain.
Right.
Prostitution, drugs, anything else you want to add to that thing? Because we're going to close out here in a minute.
I would say that for people that are getting ready to do their taxes this year, that if they feel convicted, like that maybe they were paid under the table. There is a line for tips and wages, and you can just include all that. You don't have to have proof of what you made under the table. I don't even think you have to tell who you got it from.
So you just kind of guesstimate
it?
Let's say you don't know any. Okay. You're trying to say that, there's a chance to make it right,
Right, exactly. If you did, maybe that's the only way you could get work. You still can do the honest thing and pay. You can still do the honest thing and pay the taxes on that. It will put it on your 1,000 or whatever they are called, I don't know,
right.
1040, put it on your taxes under, I believe it's where it says tips and things like that. It's included with wages.
One of the ill-gotten gain actually we discussed over there, it's, tax evaders and also manipulating tax advantage, Like saying that you have like 72 kids, you only have 10 kids. I don't know. Stuff like that.
Right.
Now, we're going to keep going over here. Once again, those are just the touch of it. I mean, there's so many things that there's actually a whole month of that. And the next Wednesday, we're going to cover that again. This is Fernando, the Fernando Puñante Show again. Thanks for listening. And thanks, Dawn, for co-hosting with me. We'll do this again next Wednesday. But the upcoming show will actually be Friday. We'll be here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your blogtalkradio.com. This is Fernando signing off. It is...